Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jeux du Jour podcast, courtesy of footballfairground.com. Chris Oakley here once again, and yes, I've been making promises in the past that we may get Terry DeFellon on the show and heaven knows who else, but I've decided for the time being to keep things simple. I'm afraid you're lumbered with me just for the time being until I can get myself sorted out and can re-establish my organisational skills, and hope that doesn't put you off too much. But basically, here we are again. It's well, we're looking at sort of week six, really, of the Ligue 1 season. Amongst other things, we're going to be looking at, as usual, everything that's been going on in French football over the last couple of weeks. This will be hopefully of interest to you if you've perhaps not got too much of a background knowledge of French football. If you happen to be a French football expert, there's nothing to see here. Move along, please. Anyway, here we are recording this on Sunday, the 19th of September, sort of mid-afternoon. So we've already had several, let's see, four, five, six, seven, excuse me, seven games so far this weekend. There are two going to be going on shortly this afternoon, and there's one this evening, and the big game this evening is Bordeaux versus Lyon. More of which shortly. Anyway, for the time being, let's deal with the headlines of what you need to know, what's happened since we last spoke. And, well, let's just put it this way. The table, the Ligue 1 table, is still looking a bit topsy-turvy. In no uncertain terms, we can crystallise this into one fact, namely that Saint-Étienne are the leaders of the table. At least, as I speak, they are, provisionally. They may yet be the leaders of the table after the remaining three games this weekend. But certainly for the time being, Saint-Étienne, renowned bottom feeders, relegation strugglers, they have got off to a tremendous start. Out of their six games so far, they've won four and drawn one. So they lead the table on 13 points on goal difference from Toulouse. And yesterday, as I speak, Saturday, they had a 2-0 win over Montpellier, who are struggling a little bit. They're a bit inconsistent so far. But yes, great start for Saint-Étienne. And well, if you ask me why is it that they're doing so well now when they haven't done it in recent past, I'm not entirely sure, but I'll sort of pluck three names from their squad out of the air as to perhaps why they're doing well. There seem to be two, well, they've got two attackers, Saint-Étienne, Dimitri Payet and Emmanuel Riviere. Now, Emmanuel Riviere, his name crops up quite a lot. excuse me, he scored eight last season. He's got one, I think, so far this season. But when he doesn't score, he tends to be a good feed for his partner in crime, Dimitri Payet, as I say. And he is actually the top scorer in Ligue 1 so far. He's got six goals, and we got two yesterday against Montpellier. In fact, Riviere got the other one in that. So they're working well as a little sort of team within a team at the moment. Two good players. The third one I would add into the mix is Carlos Bocanegra. Now, he is a name you may well be familiar with. Of course, he used to play for Fulham, amongst others. For the last, season or two, he's been playing for Rennes. And he switched to Saint-Étienne in the summer. And I think I mentioned probably on the first podcast this season of Jeux du Jour, you know, why would he want to do that? He could be conceivably challenging for helping his team challenging for a place in, say, the Europa League or maybe even the Champions League. Why has he gone to a team that's going to be struggling, without any shadow of a doubt, against relegation? Well, perhaps another way of looking at it is that perhaps he thought, well, I can help them avoid a battle against relegation. And indeed, I think he probably is. I think he's certainly helped to stiffen up the defence. And they've just got a good thing going on at the moment, Saint-Étienne, so they are leading the way, rather surprisingly. As I mentioned, Toulouse, they were the leaders, I think, last time we spoke, and they're now down to second on goal difference. They drew yesterday 0-0 against Monaco, so they're still going well. They've also won four out of six. And in third place are the aforementioned Rennes. Rennes are playing against Paris Saint-Germain this afternoon, so that should be a pretty good match by all accounts. Paris Saint-Germain are... they're not quite up there. They're still in their usual sort of lower top half of the table kind of position. But they're doing okay. They're in Europe, of course, this season, Paris Saint-Germain. They're in the Europa League. And again, more of that later on as well. Making up the rest of the top five, Caen, the Ligue 2 champions from last season, they're still in there. They're doing well. They're in fourth. They had a good win yesterday, 1-0 away to Lorient. And fifth place, another surprise to add to this whole topsy-turvy motif, that's Sochaux. Sochaux are just the most vanilla, you know, ordinary team, really, I think, or have been recently in Ligue 1. But they've started well. And yesterday they had a tremendous win, 4-0 at home to Nice, which is probably not beyond the realms of imagination for most of the other teams, because Nice tend to struggle, generally speaking. But you wouldn't have expected Sochaux to put together four goals, but yes, they did. So Sochaux are in fifth. Elsewhere in the table, where are the other sort of notables? Well, Marseille are on the rise at last, the defending champions, of course. Marseille, they won 3-0 away against bottom side Al-Avignon. Two goals from André Ayew, the Ghanaian, and the other one, the first goal coming from Bruno Cheyroux, who's a very useful player indeed, one of their best players without a shadow of a doubt. So Marseille are gradually now hauling themselves up the table, eighth place as I speak. As I mentioned before, Montpellier, they're struggling, they're down to 10th, level on points with Marseille. Lille, 12th, and then we get to the bottom five. And in case you still weren't convinced about the whole topsy-turvy thing, hopefully this will do. Lyon, 16th, fifth from bottom, 5 points from five games. And then elsewhere in the bottom five, you've got Auxerre, still third from bottom, Bordeaux, still second from bottom, and Al-Avignon, as we mentioned, who have now lost 6 games out of 6. And one of the headlines from this week is that Al-Avignon have sacked... Well, the coach? That's the word I'm looking for. Why did that name elude me? The coach of Al-Avignon, Michel Estevan, during the course of the week, he was suspended for 5 days. And it's the general thinking seems to be that that will probably lead to a permanent dismissal at some point early on in the coming week. And, well, there's been a bit of previous, really, between... Michel Estevan and Al-Avignon. I said, I think, at some point in the last podcast that Al-Avignon are a bit of a basket case, a bit of a Fruit Loop sort of a club. Allow me to explain what I meant by that. For those who don't know, Al-Avignon, I do apologise, I've got a bit of a frog in my throat, that's because I've had a bit of a cough recently. I do apologise if you're picking up any phlegm there. Al-Avignon, back in the 2005-2006 season, they were playing in the fifth tier of French football, known as CFA2. They're playing in the fifth tier. And in the 5 seasons that have followed, they've got promoted in every single season bar one, which was the season before. They've had a couple of seasons, in Ligue 2. But they've just gone up, 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 and that's been largely due to Michel Estevan. So, major celebrations, of course, end of last season. They got promotion to the top flight for the first time ever, and everyone's thinking, well, this is fantastic, isn't it? But then some strange events started to ensue, namely that the coach, Michel Estevan, was sacked. That was very much a short-term thing. He was later reinstated. This was all during the course of summer 2010. So, sacked, brought back in, the president of the club, Jean-Marc Conrad, he left after allegedly offering Estevan a 3-year deal without consulting the rest of the board. So, he went. So, as the start of the 2010-2011 season came around, we had a club in Al-Avignon that was somewhat in disarray, really. People coming and going. But on the back of some tremendous progress over the last 5 seasons. Anyway, as the season was about to start, with about a week or two to go, Michel Estevan found himself with only 12 players in his squad. Not an ideal situation, I think you'll appreciate. So he therefore had to go around and quickly grab as many players as possible in order to form a decent-sized squad. That he did. He just bought loads and loads and loads of different players, mainly... a sort of mix between, journeymen, experienced journeymen, and young talent that had a bit of potential. But, full credit to him, he managed to sort of assemble a squad, got it going. Unfortunately, As you've just heard from me a moment ago, they've lost all six games so far. First four of them, actually, they only lost by the odd goal. So they, you know, it's conceivable that they were not playing quite as bad as it looked. But the last couple of games, they've lost heavily. And, excuse me, as I just said, they lost 3-0 at home to Marseille. Now, they played that game without a new coach installed, I think I'm right in saying. Michel Estevan has gone, albeit short term, for 5 days. His assistant also left the club during the course of the week as well. So they're just all over the place at the moment, Arles Avignon. I mean, in many ways, the whole fairy tale with them is what's happened up until this season. What's happening to them now is unfortunately really kind of quite sad and not looking too good really for them in the coming weeks. Not quite sure who they're going to get in as a new coach or quite how they'll do, but they're going to be struggling, let's put it that way. So we wish Arles Avignon all the best of luck in their first and what may be for a while their only season in the top flight. But there we go. So that's all the news on Arles Avignon. And in fact, that's pretty much the news on Ligue 1. What else can I tell you? The other headlines from the course of the week. Well, I just mentioned Lyon, Bordeaux and Auxerre are still in the bottom three. They're playing today. Bordeaux versus Lyon this evening. PSG against Rennes this afternoon. And Auxerre are away to Lille this afternoon. Could be a tricky one, that. The coming week brings us the third round, or basically the round of 16, I think it is, of the League Cup. Those games going on Tuesday and Wednesday. I won't go through it too much detail what's happening in that at the time for the time being. I'll hopefully give you a review of what's happened in the next podcast. And next week in Ligue 1, what are the games to look out for? Well, let's see, we've got Marseille at home to Sochaux. And as I mentioned before, Sochaux are in the top five, so that's kind of an interesting one. But Marseille should win that comfortably, I'd have thought. Bordeaux are away to Caen. Two teams who are very much in sort of the opposite positions in the table to what you'd expect. Bordeaux have got to win that one. I mean, I'm not sure quite how well Bordeaux will do against Lyon. They're starting to piece together some form, Bordeaux, but they're still quite unconvincing. You could say the same about Lyon, actually. And Lyon themselves are at home to Saint-Étienne on Saturday, next Saturday. So that really will be an interesting game. And if Saint-Étienne win that one, then frankly, I think I'll just rip up the rule book, and or indeed the form book at least, as that could be an indicator of stranger things to come later on this season. Who knows? Toulouse are at home to Lille next Sunday. So that's that. What else have we had this weekend? This week, rather, I should say. We've had European games as well. Let's give you a bit of a breakdown of what's happened there. In the Champions League, Lyon got quite, for me, I thought it was a surprising 1-0 win against Schalke. Actually, I take that back, because Schalke have been in pretty bad form, generally speaking, in the Bundesliga. I watched the game on TV, and Lyon started really poorly. I mean, in defence particularly, they were just all over the place, and it looked like a formality that Schalke were going to score. But as it turned out, Lyon got the first goal through Michel Bastos, the Brazilian, and a sort of funny old goal it was, really. A shot came in, it looped up over the goalkeeper, and there was a bit of a scramble, and Bastos managed to force it over the line, and that turned out to be the only goal of the game. So actually a good start by all accounts for Lyon in Group B of the Champions League. Elsewhere in that group, Benfica have gone top by virtue of their 2-0 win over Hapoel Tel Aviv. In Group F, Marseille didn't start so well. A shock 1-0 defeat at home to Spartak Moscow. I think that was looking like, you know, Marseille were probably going to win. You know, home support. Also, Spartak Moscow not doing great in the Russian, is it the Premier League? I can never remember that. I think it's the Russian Premier League. In the end, the goal for Spartak Moscow was an own goal through Aspilicueta, who's the guy that Marseille signed up during the course of the summer. He was, let me see, checks notes, looks for name of player. Yes, he was the guy they brought in, Cesar Aspilicueta, a defender. They brought him in from Osasuna. He's a bit of a long throw specialist. I think I mentioned that in the first podcast, actually. He got the own goal, so not a good start for Marseille. And in Group G, Auxerre predictably found it rather tough against Milan. They were playing at Milan. and they lost 2-0 in the end, two goals from Ibrahimovic. They, to their credit, Auxerre, they did manage to keep it to 0-0 up until half time, but two goals in a short space of time, about 5 or 6 minutes, I think it was, undid their work up to that point. So, Auxerre, as I've mentioned earlier on this week in the European Football Special podcast, go to footballfairground.com to find out more about that. Auxerre are really in the group of death there, so shouldn't expect too much, perhaps. And Europa League, Group C, Lille lost 2-1 at home to Sporting Lisbon. Lille were looking a bit shaky at the back. Wasn't until they brought on Eden Hazard, who's a pretty good player, another name who that crops up from time to time for them. He helped to set up the goal that Lille got back towards the end. Also, Lille had a goal disallowed and they hit the post as well. But not looking too good for Lille. I think they are probably going to struggle this year because they've got to balance how committed that they want to be in both the league and the Champions League. But I think they might struggle to find a right balance there. So that's that. That's Group C in the Europa League. And Group J, Paris Saint-Germain got a good win, 1-0 in Seville. And that man, Nene, was the scorer. He's the fella that they've bought from Monaco. Very useful signing. Certainly was one of I tipped off as one of the best signings of the summer. And he's already starting to repay the old transfer fee there. So a very good win for Paris Saint-Germain in Seville. Elsewhere in that group, Borussia Dortmund won 4-3 away to Carpati Lviv, or indeed Lvov, as our friend James Appel would perhaps say. That's pretty much the European situation. Of course, we've only just started in the Champions League and the Europa League, first game of the group stage, so not much to report on there. Finally, just before we go, a quick check of the old Ligue 2 situation. And last time we spoke, I was saying that Evian were the team that were leading the way there. They've now slipped down a couple of places to third. It's now Tours, who are leading on 16 points, two ahead of Sedan and Evian. Fourth place, Troyes. Now, you may have heard of the team called Troyes. I think they had an excellent run in the French Cup some years back, a bit of a shock. They're very much a sort of lower league side. They managed to haul themselves up into the second tier, and they're doing well. In fact, the other sort of notable fact about Troyes is that they won the Intertoto Cup in 2001. Newcastle fans may remember that for all the wrong reasons. Their side lost to Troyes in the final that year. So they're in fourth. And other teams to mention: Boulogne, relegated last year, they're in sixth. They're not doing too badly at all. Le Havre, they're in eighth. And our old friends Grenoble, who were so poor last year, they are still struggling there. Now they're currently third from bottom, 18th out of 20. And they've only got 6 points from possible 21. So Grenoble are there, I think, possibly the Portsmouth of French football, albeit without all the financial disarray, possibly. So that, I think, is about all. A whistle-stop tour through all the latest info. Hope it wasn't too off-putting for you. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back again in another fortnight's time. Meantime, if you want to catch up on not only French football, but also what's going on in German football, in MLS, and lots more besides, don't forget to go across to footballfairground.com. That's where you'll find output from people like myself and Terry DeFellin and Graham Sibley. You'll also find Sound of Football podcast there too. Terry's Bundesbag podcasts. So much on there, you can't fail to be bored by the end of the experience. But like I say, that's it for now. Hope to have the pleasure of your company in a couple of weeks' time. But for now, thank you very much. It's goodbye.